ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय15th, 12th. Yad aditya gatam tejo. Yagat basayate kilam. Yad chandramasi yad chagno. Tat tejo vidimamakam. Yad aditya gatam tejo. Yagat vasayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno tat tejo vidimamakam yat aditya gatam tejo yagat vasayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno Tate yo vidi mamakam. Yat aditya gatam tejo. Yagat vasayate kilam.
Try to speak if it's possible even louder.
Yat chandramasi yat chagno. Tate jo vidi mamakam. Yat aditya gatam tejo. Yagat vasayate kilam. Yat chandramasi yat chagno. Tate jo vidi mamakam. Yat aditya gatam tejo jagat vasayate kilam yak chandramasi yak chagno tat tejo vidimamakam.
Anyone else?
Yat aditya gatam tejo jagat vasayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno tat tejo vidimamakam.
So word for word translation. Yat,
that which
avidya gatam, sorry, aditya gatam, in the sunshine, tejaha, splendor, jagat, the whole world, bhasayate, illuminates, akilam, entirely, yat, that which, chandramasi, in the moon, yat, that which cha also akno in fire tat that tejaha splendor vidhi understand mamakam from me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, the founder acharya for International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Ki Jai. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire also are also from me. Purport. The unintelligent cannot understand how things are taking place, but one can begin to be established in knowledge by understanding what the Lord explains here. Everyone sees the sun, moon, fire and electricity. One should simply try to understand that the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, and the splendor of electricity or fire are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such a conception of life, the beginning of Krishna consciousness lies a great deal. Of advancement for the conditioned soul in this material world. The living entities are essentially the parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and he is giving herewith the hint how they can come back to Godhead, back to home. From this verse, we can understand that the sun is illuminating the whole solar system. There are different universes and solar systems, and there are different suns, moons, and planets also. But in each universe, there is only one sun. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:21, the moon is one of the stars. Nakshatranam aham sasi. Sunlight is due to the spiritual effulgence in the spiritual sky of the Supreme Lord. With the rise of the sun, the activities of human beings are set up. They set fire to prepare their foodstuff, they set fire to start the factories, etc. So many things are done with the help of fire. Therefore, sunrise, fire, and moonlight are also pleasing to the living entities. Without their help, no living entity can live. So, if one can understand that the light and splendor of the sun, moon, and fire are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then one's Krishna consciousness will begin. By the moonshine, all the vegetables are nourished. The moonshine is so pleasing that people can easily understand that they are living by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Without his mercy, there cannot be sun. Without his mercy, there cannot be moon. And without his mercy, there cannot be fire. And without the help of sun, moon, and fire, no one can live. These are some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness in the conditioned soul. I'll read the verse again for you. Chat adityagatam teyo jagadvasayate kiram yat chandramasi chat charno tat teyo vidimahamakam. The splendor of the sun which dissipates the darkness of this whole world comes from me, and the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. So I'd like to read the prayers on page number 1. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Saksaru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gunave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Estapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivika Visakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanesvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Taruvyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today's verse is actually a wonderful verse because it helps us to recognize different aspects of nature, especially the sun, the moon, or fire, electricity, which are actually very common to us in everyday life. And through those elements of our life, we can actually try to fulfill the main instruction of the whole Vedic literature, which is to the Parivasa Sutra, means the sutra or the aphorism that all other verses or instructions or injunctions given by the Lord or by the Lord's devotees are subordinated. I mean, the most important instruction is to think about Krishna and also not to forget him. So how to do that in our the Lord is explaining here that Prabhupada also in the last sentence, so Prabhupada says that, well, how to become Krishna conscious, you know, it may be not so easy. So we can just imagine, you know, how, well, it's difficult to imagine how the power, the this is actually inconceivable. You cannot, this, because the sun is just a small fragmental part of his effulgence. So, and of course, you know, you can see the power of electricity or the moon at night. How? Of course, this materialistic society is designed in such a way that we just distracted so much from the goal of thinking about Krishna, you know. All these films and some football and basket sports and so many other things, distractions are there in a very, very intense way. It's actually inimaginable how people are so misguided, you know, up to which extent that is happening. It may seem unreal, but it's actually what's going on. So how can that be happening to all of our you know, you can say brothers and sisters or citizens of our countries, how that may be possible that this Kali Yuga is so strong, and actually it is just starting, you know. But this is our, as we say so many times, we have in our hands this knowledge and rest in our capacity, and of course in Lord Krishna's plan and Lord Nityananda, to be able to distribute this knowledge so people can actually get out of the, you know, this bubble, massive situation where the whole world is just it's just directed by a few clever guys that were making a lot of money basically, and controlling more and more to a more and more degree. They use all this technology. There was one, well, I don't know if I should mention this here, this is not really Krishna conscious, but there was one English boy who came here, gentleman, who came here and was talking about the technology that some people, I won't mention the country, but they're using some technology that through certain wavelength they can control the minds at distance from people and make, so people do, for example, we want to, somebody knows too much or is dangerous for some reason for the interest of the country. So what they do, they don't kill him directly, but they use this technology so that other people unwillingly they commit this crime, and nobody knows what happened, and it may seem like a crazy person, something happened, or a murder. Yes. So it's very well intended. So it's a pity that this intelligence is used in such a demoniac, destructive way, because intelligence is meant for understanding that we are not these bodies, that we don't belong to these countries, and that we have a higher purpose in life. This Prabhupada repeats again and again and then all over again and again, we are not the body. Where Atato Brahma Jigyasa, now we should inquire about the absolute truth, Brahman. And that is the purpose of all Vedic literatures, starting from the Vedas, which basically what they do is to encourage people to understand there are higher powers, there are demigods situated in different planetary systems, celestial planets, heavenly planets, where they have the mission of their duty is to control the universal cosmic affairs. So if you worship them, if you perform some yagyas, then automatically rain will come, or you will have different material benefits, like for example Mar Sarasvati, Goddess Sarasvati, they will provide some knowledge, or Lord Shiva can give different grants, like a beautiful wife, or things like this. Or if you want wealth, there are different prescriptions in the Vedas. So, but then of course, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, who wrote the Vedas, was dissatisfied because he had written about Krishna, Lord Krishna, you know, not devotional, wonderful activities, so people could develop love for him. And therefore, because that was not there, he was very much unsatisfied. And Narada Muni, who was a spiritual master, very timely came, and he knew what was the despondency of his disciples. So he corrected him, and he said that Vyasadeva should write about devotion, bhakti, to the Lord. Therefore, he wrote the Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's what Prabhupada brought us. That was 5,000 years ago, but all the different acharyas commented on this literature, and so now we have it here, and we just need to take benefit from it. We just need to try to take advantage of it and try to be Krishna conscious, to think about Krishna as much as we can. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna is the main way, because for us it's very difficult, because we have we still have to cross this anartha nibriti, which are clouding our path. But this mantra will awaken us more and more to the point where we'll be able to develop. First, we need to be fixed, and then develop taste, and from that, emotions arrive, shakti, detachment, attachment, and then bhava and prema, awakening of pure love, where the vision is given, the Lord appears first in the mind, and then one is able to enter in the pastimes of the Lord. So. That's why the Nectar of Devotion is explaining at, recently Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining about the four parts of the ocean of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu given by Srila Rupa Goswami. So who remembers? The eastern part of the ocean deals with Vaidisana Bhakti. Okay. And Vaidisana Bhakti, and what else? Vaidisana Bhakti. A description of general Bhakti, what is the different stages from Vaidhi means regulated, this is what we're doing, and then we have Raganuga, and then we have Bhava Bhakti, and then we have Prema Bhakti. Okay. And then the southern part of the ocean deals with the different bhavas, like Stayi Bhava or other bhavas that are there that basically different devotees experience in relation with Krishna, you know. Like Maharaja Yashoda is seeing the shoe of Krishna, and automatically, because he sees so much love for his child, God himself, so automatically that shoe awakens that motherly affection for him, pure love. So in similar way, that is called a stimulant, means that shoe awakens that. It works as a trigger. So there are different kinds of bhavas, and it's very interesting actually. And then we have the western side, where the primary rasas, the five rasas, which are neutral rasa, then we have the servitorship, then we have friendship, then we have parental love, and then we have the higher rasa is madhurya rasa, conjugal love. And then on the north part of the ocean, what do we have? The seven secondary rasas, and how they interact with the primary and producing the different moods and different states of consciousness. So that's the way. That's explained the whole science of devotional service there. And Bhagavad Gita is there is a difference between Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is directly spoken by the Lord, while the Bhagavatam is actually narrated by Srila Vyasadeva, right? With the different pastimes or with different stories. We have the Maharaj Pariksit, which is listened directly from Sukadeva Goswami. And within that, then you have how later on was explained, the same Bhagavatam was explained by who? By who spoke to the sages of Naimisharanya? Sutta Goswami. Okay, so you can participate in the class, there's no restriction here. So we have all this literature, which is actually fabulous because it's connected with reality. It's reality. Then you can, by reading that, you can be able to become, to distinguish between what is falsity and what is reality. So that's wonderful, and because it allows you to get free from suffering. And then you will be able to be a devotee who is able to grasp the essence. Means sara essence, grahi. Sara grahi is somebody who is very wise, with the best Buddhist, intelligent person, and the best anything. And you'll be so blissful that no one else can do damage to you. Even if someone damage to you, does something against you, again, still you'll be very blissful because you'll be not affected by it. Because you'll be completely free from bodily concept and beyond pain, like Prabhupada, you know. Can you imagine Prabhupada, old man, sleeping 2, 3 hours, 4 hours a day, traveling, writing, accepting thousands of disciples, opening more than 100 temples, and and so many things he did, and then I think so many letters, and such a high level of interchange, loving exchange with the Lord. So because of the consciousness is in such a level, then you transcend the dualities, the pains of this world. So we experience problems in our relationships, on our health, or whatever, is because of that. You know? So, because the soul in essence is pure and is beyond all suffering, so beyond all the different problems of this material world. So that is actually for us is possible to achieve. It may be not be easy, which is not, but it may be. It may be a very nice goal to target, you know? So, yes, the different luminaries of the sky are just coming, borrowing strength from the Lord. Even the fire, the electricity, anything that is created is coming from the Lord. And And therefore, knowing that, one can understand and then one can think about him, you know. So that's why this chapter is called the Yoga of the Supreme Person and describes, what does this chapter describe? Describes a banyan tree. What is the banyan tree? Can you see the banyan tree? Who can see this banyan tree? It's a banyan tree that we are in. We are, in or maybe on top or hanging from it, but it's full of branches and roots going up and down and leaves, very keen. And in order to get free from this reflected tree, we need knowledge. Because with knowledge and detachment, we can actually go to the root and then go to the spiritual world, which is the original banyan tree, where Lord Krishna stays there. So mainly what we have to do is basically just one thing, which is very easy. Just one thing, well, very easy. I say it too quickly, but it is just one thing, actually. It may seem easy, but it may be difficult to do that, at least for me, because that one thing is just think about the lotus feet of Krishna. If you just can think about the lotus feet of Krishna, then everything is achieved. Doesn't matter what this devotee, this Prabhu, this the other does to you. That's not matter, because you just fix on your meditation on the Supreme, and then because of that you just transcendental and in bliss. Any kind of distress is because we're not thinking enough. We're not surrendered unto the Lord, following the instructions. The only way you can think about Krishna is by following the instructions of Krishna and his devotees, pure devotees. So this is basically what we have to do, because if we are able to do that, automatically the darshan will be, the Lord will be pleased and will what's the word? We will bless us with his darshan, lotus feet, mercy, blissful consciousness. So that may be not that easy if we have a strong mind that is continually trying to make us go to astray, to the path of enjoyment. Therefore, it is very important to come to the Bhagavad Gita class and to listen to what Lord Krishna has to say. In this case, today we are talking about how actually the splendor of the sun and the moon come, and the fire also, electricity also, come from the Lord, Lord Krishna himself, as opposed to many other beliefs or interpretations of the Vedic scriptures. For example, the Advaita Vedanta, Advaita meaning non-dualistic, non-dualism. There is no God, there is only godliness. No God. But how can be godliness, there be only, how can, is possible that there is only godliness if there is no God? Where does the godliness come from? You know? If there is no God, where is the godliness coming from? This Brahman effulgence, where is it coming from? It must be coming from somewhere. So this is what these Mayavadis are advocating. Impersonalists, they say, this undivided Brahman, you know, this undivided absolute, full of bliss, that is anirvachaniya, is beyond any word, is not with form, is not without form, is not black, is not white, is not high, is not low, is not, it's beyond words. And therefore what they try to do, the spiritual practices, is they repeat parts of a scripture, of course, just with the aim of just achieve that Brahman and later forget the scriptures. They use the scriptures and the Guru as a stepping stone, as a ladder, just to achieve that Brahman, which is for us is like really bad, because we are very grateful to both the Lord and the scriptures and the spiritual master. But they don't. They are just once that Brahman is achieved, then you can get rid of your guru and all that. It's not even nice to say, so I won't even go into that. But what they do is have some speed. I'll quickly, swiftly go through this, because I don't like it very much. But they just try to eliminate from the mind any conception of attributes. They just try to get free of anything which is basically anything except Brahman. Just imagine, you have to detach from yourself, from everything. It seems like very difficult. Don't go into it. Just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be nice. And even if you still think at some point that is not nice, forget that thought and keep chanting Hare Krishna. That's it. Because this is the only thing we have to do, but chanting and chanting again and again and more, and in this way we can advance and be situated in unalloyed bliss, unalloyed bhakti, and try to avoid offenses to the Vaishnavas and to the scriptures, to be attentive while chanting, and to practice the six loving exchanges.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah,
thank you. That's an offense. I'm sorry about that. I was short of strength because I don't eat too much because of my brahmacharya. But I have to say I don't eat too little. But yeah, basically we should congratulate each other. About because we are here in the Bhagavad Gita class, few people in Belgium today so fortunate to be able to listen to Bhagavad Gita and to release the words of Lord Krishna and try to understand them here together. It's actually very nice, and yeah. I'd like to ask you if you have any questions. Thank you for nicely here, so attentively, and a wonderful audience. Thank you so much. Any comment, questions, chastisements, criticisms, or any other kind of bad feeling, or good feeling, or any kind of any other thing within Krishna conscious parameters, please. I think, are you here? Okay, so anyway, we'll comment something else today. I like the second paragraph because there are other quotes. I like when Prabhupada quotes from another scripture, actually. In this case, this is Nakshatranam Aham Sasi. The moon is one of the stars.
Of the beaches I am Vishnu, of lights I am the radiant sun, of the marrows I am Marichi, and among the stars I am the moon.
Thank you for that contribution, that was nice. We're quoting from 10:21, as the verse indicates. Adityanam aham Vishnu. By the way, all these mantras are very powerful. Yoti sam ravir am sumam marichir maruta masmi naksana naksatranam aham sasi. This last pada or feet of the verse of the sloka is what is actually Prabhupada there in this verse to today's purport. And then you can see how naksatranam. Nakshatranam, of the stars, you know, of the stars. Aham, I am. Sasi, the moon. Sasi, we have to pronounce better the Sanskrit, little by little, trying to understand. Not too quick, because then it sounds very orthopedic, you know this word? Orthopedic. Like, no, unnaturally, should gradually, gradually, try to do it nicely. And then, Nakshatranam. is nam, is the dot, is retroflex, which is the third position in the mouse, starting from the first one. If you remember this, then it becomes very easy, because number one is in the, is a guttural here, like ka is here, the bottom of the, what do you call the apple, Adams, the one. So this is number one, and lips are five. So we have one here, two at the end of the palate, the end of the mouth, back part of it. And then three is retroflex, means that the tongue goes backwards like the ocean waves, go like this shape. So that's the ones that are the dot on the bottom, it's retroflex. And then we have the dentals, number two, and number one lips, labials. So...
He says Ravi is the sun.
Huh?
Ravi, sun, the sun.
Yeah, that's in, a, that's in another...
Today's verse is a teacher.
No, this is Ravi is in the second part of the... on the sloka today. Yes, Ravi means... what's the meaning?
Sun.
Sun is the Ravi, because there are different names.
But in our verse it's Aditya.
Aditya of the Adityas means Aditya Anam of the Adityas. Aham Vishnu Yotisham.
No, I mean the verse that we started with.
Ravi.
15:12.
Yes.
The sun is called Aditya.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not always the same. There are different variations, you know. Because Sanskrit is a very rich language, and then you, there are good, very Sanskrit, very good in the internet. So if you type, you can have translation from English directly, and there are so many names for each one, you know. Like if you type orange, this is a very nice color. So I type and you can find like 12, 13, 15 different words, you know, amazing. It's really rich. So yeah, not surprised. This is the welcome to Sanskrit language. Aditya Gatam, in the sunshine. Yeah, I don't know.
Looks like the golden Aditya's.
Gatam means path, you know? Gatam means path.
Yes.
Like the supreme, the best course of action is Param Gati. Param Gati, the best path. So yes, I cannot, this is very high question you're asking me, but yeah, I like, now since you say, I pay more attention about it. And I mean, yeah, this verse 21 is very much related to today's verse. This is a nice thing about giving class, that we should be able to go different parts of the Bhagavad Gita, so we can actually link different because of the meaning, you know, for example, or because of other factors. In this case, it's specifically says of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon. There are 12 Adityas, of which Krishna is the principal. Among all the luminaries shining in the sky, the sun is the chief. And in the Brahma Samhita, the sun is accepted as the glowing eye of the Supreme Lord. Nice, would you like to say it louder? Have you read the commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati?
It's in Bhagavad Gita, but I don't remember which.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Bhagavad Gita. So
yeah. Okay, so, and then there are 50 varieties of wind blowing in space, and of these winds, the controlling deity Marichi represents Krishna. So in this way, we go outside the castle and we feel these different winds. We can wonder, wow, who is this Marut? Maybe it's Marichi, maybe it represents Krishna. Do you think about that? Then, among the stars, the moon is the chief prominent at night, and thus the moon represents Krishna. It appears from this verse that the moon is one of the stars. Therefore, the stars that twinkle in the sky also reflect the light of the sun. The theory that there are many suns within the universe is not accepted by Vedic literature. The sun is one, and as by the reflection of the sun, the moon illuminates. So also do the stars. Since Bhagavad Gita indicates herein that the moon is one of the stars, the twinkling stars are not suns, but are similar to the moon. Yeah, this is actually a Vedic cosmology is actually a wonderful topic that we are entering in actually, and hopefully in a few years we'll have this, let's close the fingers, this very planetarium ready in Mayapur with a whole proper understanding, and you can actually get the idea. Because there's great difficulty because it's a multidimensional, and it's not that clear. Even Prabhupada had problems, had to go to different experts in India. So it is a wonderful subject matter that one can dedicate some time to it. Because if we make it right, then we'll be able to contest scientific theories. But of course, we have to make it right, and that is a challenge. Okay, so it's time, but the Vajrayanas are not here. But yes, this Vedic cosmology is very, very intricate. The cosmos is very in which we are in. I remember I asked once because I had a doubt because I remember I read different things in the scripture in the Bhagavatam about the umbilical cordon, is that right?
Yeah.
Of the Brahma. So I read in different two places. So I was confused because it was contradictory, and then I asked I asked Senior Vaishnava, and the Senior Vaishnava said that yes, both explanations are given in the scriptures. So my question was that, are we inside this lotus steam, or are we outside of it? And he said, well, there is exactly there are both explanations, you know. So it's difficult to understand because this. Yeah, it is just this, you know, how you figure it out, because it seems you have apparently contradictory statements, because the scripture is always right. You cannot say, and also how everything, all the cosmos is compared. Hare Krishna, welcome. Thank you for coming to Bhagavad Gita class. And how the cosmos is compared to you know this, how they call it, chandelier, you know? Chandelier is like one of, like for example, this lamp here hanging from the roof, but kind of a cylindrical, in a cylinder, falling like vertically towards the floor.
This is the chandelier.
Yeah.
This is the shape.
This chandelier, it removes like that, I think, clockwise. And then the on top, like the center hanging from the highest point from where the whole chandelier is hanging is the polar star
Dhruvaloka,
where Dhruva Maharaj is living, and then you have the whole all motions from the sky, you know, the whole intricate matter, and then the moon goes reverse and the whole thing. So okay, but we don't have time now, and now it's time for bhajans. Jai, thank you for your attentive listening. All guys, see you, Prabhupada, ki, jai.